Hi, everybody. It is time for the Svarta Tshuva of the week from Congregation Sharei Oran, the Svarta congregation from Teaneck. This week, we're going to talk about a timely topic. We're going to speak about Chametz She'avar Alav Et HaPesach, that Chametz after Pesach, and specifically how this relates to the supermarkets here in the United States, which sell their Chametz, but they still operate. They still operate on Pesach sell, and they're actually still operating as usual, selling chametz, even though they sell the chametz to the non-Jew. They appointed the rabbi to be their shaliach to sell the chametz to the non-Jew, but yet there's still business as usual with all their cereals selling, like nothing happened. So they don't do like we do in our homes, where we set aside the chametz in a special place, we put it away, and we use it at all on Pesach because it's sold. We know it's sold to the guy, but these stores, the chametz, as if nothing happened, as if there was no sale that was made. To me, business as usual, and is that considered to be a valid sale? There's a lot of discussion, a lot of argument. It is actually a machloket. Typically, the rabbanim in this area frame it as a machloket between Rav Moshe Feinstein, who supported it, and Rav Soloveitchik, who actually was against such sales. He felt that such sales were not valid. Now, you have a difference of opinion between these great rabbanim here in the United States. The American rabbanim had this machloket. You don't have this machloket in Israel for a very simple reason. Rav Ad doesn't discuss it, because in Israel, the Israeli law, Baruch Hashem, is that there is no Pesach. That is, you can't at least openly sell chametz in a store that's going to sell their chametz with the rabbanut is not going to openly go against the law and actively sell chametz on Pesach. So this is a very much an American question that comes up, and this is relevant. There are stores in this area which is relevant. The ShopRite, I understand, in Inglewood is on this falls into this category. I believe that the sale, you can rely on such a sale. Let's go through the differences between the opinions, and that is, and it all comes down to a Gemara here, Masechet Kiddushin on Mem Ted Amud Bet, which discusses the following very interesting case, very very important case in the Gemara. Spoke about someone who lives in Bavel who sells his property. And his reason that he's selling the property is because he's making aliyah. He doesn't need the property anymore in Chutz Laaretz, in Bavel. But he doesn't explicitly state this at the time of the sale of the land. And then his aliyah plans fall through and he has to stay in Bavel. And he wants his property back. Can he claim it back? So the Gemara quotes the famous Rava, who says in a very important statement, these are Dvarim Shebelev. He never articulated this condition. And Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. If you think something and you didn't articulate the Tanai, you didn't explicitly make the sale of your real estate conditioned on dependent on your successful aliyah, then if your aliyah falls through, you can't claim the real estate back. You can't nullify the sale. If you want to make a Tanai, make a Tanai. You have to verbalize it. If you didn't verbalize it, you just thought it, it's invalid. So Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. How is this relevant to the sale of chametz by someone that is not observant and is going to still, and the supermarket owner is still going to run his store as usual? So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, the sale is valid. Why? Because who cares what he's thinking? Who cares he's thinking that the sale is a joke? Who cares that he's not taking it seriously? He appointed the rabbi to sell the chametz. That's it. That's what he did. What he's thinking is not relevant. Rav Soloveitchik said, no. You have to look at the Tosafot. Tosafot already modifies the statement of Rava and says, no. Listen carefully. Listen what's, you have to look elsewhere in the Gemara where it says that sometimes an exception is made. Sometimes, Dvarim Shebelev Habe Dvarim. Sometimes what you're thinking actually matters. When is that? And that is when it's patently obvious to everybody what you're thinking. Tosfot quotes the Gemara that says, someone who is kotev kol nechasav la'acherim. He made a will and he donated all his property, all his estate to a tzedakah. And then what does he discover? His long-lost son that he thought was no longer alive. He discovered he was alive. So that will, that writing over all the estate to the tzedakah is invalid because it's obvious. Had he known that his son was still alive, he would have left at least some of the estate to his son. And therefore, had he known, then he never would have given all this, all his whole estate away to tzedakah. And the will is going to be invalid. The gift to the tzedakah is going to be invalid. Now, hold on. When he made that will, made that gift to the tzedakah, he never said that he's making that gift to the tzedakah, he's giving all his estate to the tzedakah on condition that his son Noel is no longer alive. So why don't you say the rule of Dvarim Shevelev Einam Dvarim? So to this, Tosfot says, there are certain things that are so obvious. It's an demuchach, as it's called in halacha. It is so clear that that's what is his intention. There's no need to articulate, to verbalize the Tanai. It's so obvious that this was his intention. And since it was so obvious that this was his intention, that we're going to say, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. In this case, we will say, so obvious what his intention is, we say Dvarim Shebelev Havi Dvarim. What he think actually does matter. And therefore, the gift of his whole estate to the tzedakah is going to be invalidated if it's discovered that his son is still alive. So when it's patently obvious, dvarim shebelev matter. What you think matters. So therefore, when this owner, a non-observant Jew who owns a supermarket, who appoints the rabbi to sell his shaliach to sell the chametz for him, it's patently obvious to us that he's not taking this sale seriously. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the sale is not serious. That's not a valid sale. How can you call that? How can you possibly call that a valid sale when it's patently clear to us that that he's not taking the sale seriously? So it seems Rav Soloveitchik really wins this argument, and therefore this mechirat chametz should not be valid. But here's a way to defend Rav Soloveitchik. Say like this: look, just because the person who is the non-observant Jew who's appointing the rabbi to be a shliach to sell the chametz is going to still keep his supermarket open doesn't mean he's not serious about the mechirat chametz. He's serious about the mechirat chametz. He wants the mechirat chametz to be valid because he wants Jews to buy the store, observant Jews to buy the store after chametz is over. So he's serious about the sale. The fact that he's continuing to keep his business open, he keeps his business open, and so that's a separate matter. Yeah, he's actually stealing from the guy. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says you could separate the two issues and say that this non-observant supermarket owner actually does intend seriously to make the sale of the chametz, and the sale therefore would be valid. Well, whose opinion are we going to be following? We're going to be following Rav Soloveitchik's opinion. We're following Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion. Well, if it remains a safek, I think we'll say we have to look with the din d'orayta, the din d'rabbanan, is Torah law or rabbinic level law. The chametz, the prohibition to have benefit from chametz that was owned after a Jew after Pesach, right? After Pesach can't benefit from chametz that a Jew owned during Pesach. That is a rule that is midrabanan. It's machloka tanaim about this matter in the second parak of Pesachim. We follow, the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, that it is only a din drabanan, and therefore you can say safek drabanan lakula, especially about when Rabbi Tait sells the shop right, the chametz for shop right, what he makes in the condition is that the store owner is not stealing from the guy, and that if he continues to sell the chametz at the store during Pesach, any sales will be calculated with the non-Jew after Pesach. If the non-Jew actually wants to complete the purchase after Pesach and purchase all of that chametz and reconcile that which was already sold during Pesach as well. So provision is made for the fact that they're going to be keeping it open. So the bottom line is any place, any supermarket that sells chametz, you can rely with a reliable rabbi, Rabbi Tait, certainly a reliable rabbi, reliable Orthodox rabbi, then you can rely on the mechirat chametz. You can rely on the mechirat chametz for all of the ShopRite and all the stores that I sent out in the email on the last day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. And you can rely on the lenient opinions, especially this year when things are challenging. Wishing everybody much bracha and much hatzlacha.